Thank you, Rob. It's a download here at 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. What's till 11 o'clock when Patty Vasquez takes over? Well, it's time for Studio 435, our weekly showcase of the best live music Chicago has to offer. This weekend is no exception as the Auditorium Theater gets in the MLK spirit with the annual show Too Hot to Handle, the Jazz Gospel Messiah. The annual concert celebrates the power of music with legendary performers and soloists, a choir with over 100 members, an orchestra, a jazz combo, and my next guest, the amazing tenor Roderick Dixon. Dixon performs all over the world. He's done opera at the Lyric, he's performed with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, and he's been on stage with musicals, including a hit show, Ragtime. He can be seen in several television specials, including PBS, and he's located right here in Chicago. Too Hot to Handle, the Jazz Gospel Messiah, is this Saturday night and Sunday afternoon at the Auditorium Theater in Chicago. And it is my pleasure to welcome Roderick Dixon to Studio 435 tonight, and he is going to start us off. Roderick, great to see you. Thanks for being here. All right, so tell us what we're going to hear here.
Justin, this is great to be here. Thank you so much, man. It's good to see you. Yeah, this is a fantastic actor and artist in himself, ladies and gentlemen, so you know I had a chance to see him do his work. And so it's so good to be here. But I have prepared for you a contrasting of the Handel's Messiah, Chicago blues styles of Too Hot to Handle. And I'll do a little bit of the original so people can understand where it came from, if that's okay with
you. That's great. Let's do it. Here he is, Roderick Dixon. Take it away.
Original version of Comfort Ye from Handel's Messiah, written in 1741, 18th century. And but now we have this interesting tradition in Chicago that's 13 years old at the Auditorium Theater. And that was in the key of E natural for those of you who are musically inclined. And this is in the key of F, and it's entirely different. It's the Chicago blues style. And so we're going to do a little bit of that. And this is going to be interesting, ladies and gentlemen, getting to strap in.
you go. Tenor Roderick Woo! Dixon in studio here in Studio 435. Matt Long on the piano here as well. They both part of the Jazz Gospel Messiah. This is the Too Hot to Handle Jazz Gospel Messiah, which will be at the Auditorium Theater coming up here Saturday and Sunday. Roderick Dixon, the tenor in studio. I can't wait to talk with you more about this. Let's take a quick break, Pete, and then what we'll do is we'll come back. Roderick Dixon, my guest tonight, Studio 435. Stay with us. Studio 435 here on the download. Roderick Dixon, the tenor. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Just performing part of, I mean, that was amazing to show a little bit of Handel's Messiah versus what we'll see on Saturday and Sunday, the Too Hot to Handle, the Jazz Gospel Messiah, which will be at the Auditorium Theater. It's the 13th year for the annual concert that celebrates music and MLK Day, of course, the weekend right before MLK Day. Roderick Dixon, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Justin. It's a pleasure. I can't thank you enough.
I can't thank you. That was amazing.
I had a fun. It was a nice ride.
That's good. So talk about this show, because this is something you've been involved with for your number of years.
Yeah.
Talk about why you got involved with doing this Messiah this way.
Yeah, a friend of mine, Thomas Young, from the group I sang with on PBS, Cook, Dixon, and Young, back in 2001, was singing the show when it started in 1992 at Lincoln Center with Maren Alsop, who conceived the idea of doing a reimagined version of Handel's Messiah, because she thought we should have something that people who may not like so much classical music could still get the feel of gospel, jazz, blues, and so on. So they did it at Lincoln Center, and he asked me to step in for him one Christmas back in 2000. I sang the show, had the show in my briefcase, and went to Detroit to do the regular Handel's Messiah, and Suzanne Acton was talking about it. And I said, well, I just sang that show. I had to score. So she looked at it. They went to see it at Lincoln Center. So they started doing it in 2002 at the Detroit Opera House. And then Suzanne was with Brett Battison, who came here to the Chicago Auditorium Theater. And he brought it here in 2006. So the tradition started here in 2006. And so, you know, we've been building this conversation in the city of Chicago. And I always thought that this show was great for the city of Chicago. Chicago is a great city for music and art.
Well, the history of blues and gospel and jazz here.
Yeah. I mean, the Auditorium Theater alone is, you know, 1893, all of that. It's that kind of history that theater represents, the theater of the people, but it also represents what Chicago has gone through and what it brings to the table to the world. So if you can bring jazz, gospel music, and classical and blues and hip hop and reggae, which this show has a little bit of everything in it, this would be the right city to bring in. So that's why it's 13 years.
It's amazing to me, because Handel's Messiah is something that I think a lot of people know.
Right.
And I know it. But in the research of putting it together, I didn't know anything.
Right.
And to be honest, I started looking at it, and I was like, okay, so it's not an opera. It's
oratorial.
It's an oratorio, yeah. Which I got all into that. Like, yeah. I spent a 101 session with myself today figuring out all this stuff. But what did you know about Handel's Messiah when you got involved in this project?
Well, I sang the Handel's Messiah since I was a kid, because I was in boys' choir. And we had excerpts of it in my father's church in Queens, New York. He would have the Handel's Messiah and the Hallelujah Chorus, and he would play some of the overture stuff, and we'd sing some of the solo stuff. So I grew up with the classical music it was in my lexicon. Our liturgy of our church service was very eclectic. You know, we had classical music, hymns, we had the old Watt songs in the Negro South. You know, we had that. And the Negro spirituals, you know, gospel music. And then you had amalgamation of all the African-American diaspora in the church service itself, on the sacred side. And so I grew up with a very diverse music backdrop. So when I went to Amanda's College of Music and then came to Lyric Opera Chicago, classical music was a very big part of my repertoire because I grew up with it.
Right.
So Messiah was a main staple every Christmas at my church services every December. We just had to sing something from Messiah. And so, yeah, that's what I knew about Handel.
For those songs, and obviously the treatment that's happening at the auditorium is much different, but for the Messiah, do you get sick of it? Well, playing it over and over and over.
Well, I'll be transparent. I am a believer, and it's part of my faith. And you know, it's the Gospels, it's the Scriptures.
Right.
And so, at the end of the day, you know, Handel was inspired to write this music based on the Scriptures that inspired. It was, you know, was said he wrote this in less than 27 days. I know.
Wow.
He cited from different other pieces of work, like Armida and some other pieces of work that he put in here, but he was inspired. So he had to be a believer to write something like this, and I would say that he did a great job. You know,
well, it's when it comes as a piece of art,
right?
It's tremendous. I mean, it's amazing what is put together, because the amount of people that are, first of all, that to do it in the way that you're doing it on stage at the auditorium is hundreds of people to do this. But even so, I mean, there's just so much that goes into being able to put the Scriptures to music. I mean, it's not an easy sub for him to do that in 27 days. It seems almost miraculous and remarkable to do so.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of crying.
Oh my God. How did that come out of me?
It's a lot of crying. Roderick Dixon. Right. For you, you've had such a astounding career. Where does this program and doing this annual concert fit in? I mean, because you've done so many different projects in your own, and we're going to talk about that this hour, but I mean, is this something you look forward to every year, to be a part of something like this?
I'll tell the truth. Now, when y'all show up this weekend, now we're going to have a conversation for you. And I always tell people, lock the doors, just give us 2 hours with them. And I tell all the preachers, leave the oil at home, don't lay any hands, just let the people have their time. But people from all different religious backdrops come to this show, and it represents Martin Luther King's beloved community in terms of the way you experience Too Hot to Handle. When you come inside the theater, this is what I like about it, and I come back to the show every year. When you come inside the theater, there's an expectation. The theater puts a demand on the listener, and the show puts a demand on the hearts of the person who chooses to come. And so when you put the two together, you have this great legacy and pedigree of the Auditorium Theater in the city of Chicago meeting at the precipice of this crossroad of humanity, who says, I want to be here to celebrate the beloved community, and this is the theater of the people. And when you hit that in the right way with great music that has this cross-section of multi-genre music that represents the sense of what America is really all about from this European aesthetic, then you got something. And so when that shows up every year, you got improvisation, you have Chicago blues, you have all these great jazz musicians, the big band style, this classical orchestra, 125 voice orchestra, and then you have this Chicago group coming in there talking about, bring it! Bring it!
It's amazing to me, too, because I would think as musicians, and for you and for Matt and everybody involved in this project, this is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of opportunity to play this kind of music, because it is collaborative in the way that there are hundreds of musicians coming together for one show.
Yeah. People get an opportunity to audition for the choir. And it doesn't mean that you have to have a doctorate degree in music to audition for the choir. And it doesn't mean you have to have a lot of experience. But if you can hold the tune and you can read a little bit and you are passionate, there's an opportunity in that regard. If you're a trained musician, like most of the orchestra musicians are, and there's some professional singers in the choir as well who love the music, there's an opportunity to explore your American sensibility of what you grew up with in America. Not all of us grew up in Europe. But you can mix the classical with the jazz and the blues, and you can improv, and then you can stay within the discipline of each of your particular musical area of expertise. And that's a demand that Suzanne Acton puts on all the musicians, that, you know, don't go off the rails here. Stick to what's in the music, but in the framework of the music, stay within the expectation of the genre. If you're doing jazz and improvising, if you're swinging or bebopping, then do what's appropriate. But don't get, you know, out the box when we're working with a certain template.
Yeah, right.
And everybody's held to that kind of discipline within those genres. But there's an overriding expectation of presenting the show on the stage. We have to work as a beloved community.
This is the 13th annual, and it happens on the weekend before Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
It was a big part. And you're going to perform here another track, which is amazing, and I'm so excited for this. But I got the quote here, Martin Luther King quote, jazz speaks for life. The blues tell the story of life's difficulties. And if you think for a moment, you will realize that they take the hardest realities of life and put them into music, only to come out with some new hope or sense of triumph. This is triumphant music.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's a great quote. And for you and what we're going to hear now, how does that relay? Well,
I have a two pieces I've chosen from, oddly enough, from Broadway that speaks about the dream. Everybody knows that I have a dream speech, and oddly enough, the part of the speech that everybody knows was improv that day on the Mall. It was not in the speech. Mahalia Jackson actually is heard yelling to Martin, tell them about the dream, Martin. Tell them about the dream, because he had spent two or three days writing the speech for that famous day. And they weren't quite, it was going to be about jobs, it was going to be about housing, it was going to be about voting. But there was a moment in the speech where she had just finished singing. He got up to speak, and then all of a sudden he pivots. He improvs. He brings in the I Have a Dream part of the speech that he had been working on months before in a sermon. Then he had spoken in Detroit 2 months prior, and then he was at the Mall giving this great speech. And so in our lecture tomorrow here in, at the Auditorium Theater, we're going to be talking about improvisation and the spirit of improvisation and how this sense of diversity and inclusion comes together in this show this weekend. And so the song I chose, two songs, is Les Miserables, I Have a Dream. I mean, I dreamed the dream into the impossible dream. And so instead of dealing primarily with the words, I deal with the spirit of I dream in the flesh. And then when everything goes awry, I start to believe in the impossible of the dreams.
All right, here he is, Roderick Dixon. He's going to perform right now. He's also going to be part of Too Hot to Handle, the Jazz Gospel Messiah, which is Saturday night and Sunday afternoon at the Auditorium Theater. Here he is, Roderick Dixon, live in Studio 435. Take it away.
Follow that star, no matter fearless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. With the last ounce of courage, to reach the unreachable star, to fight the unbeatable foe, to dream.
My gosh, that unbelievable. Roderick Dixon in studio 435 tonight. What a performance. I'm rarely moved by the music that I hear here in studio 435. Nothing against the great bands that come through here, but that was an amazing performance, and you are drained. Let's take a break. Here's what we'll do. The Too Hot to Handle, the Jazz Gospel Messiah, is Saturday night and Sunday afternoon at the Auditorium Theater. This, of course, the annual show that is put on, the 13th annual show that's put on the weekend before Martin Luther King Day. Roderick Dixon, the tenor, in studio tonight. What an unbelievable live performance right here on Michigan Avenue in the city of Chicago. Roderick, I can't thank you enough. Thank you, Rob. It's a download here, 720 WGN at Studio 435. Roderick Dixon is here, the tenor. Amazing. I mean, just really, just the performance that we just heard right before the news. It's just, it brings you to tears, and that doesn't happen that often with art. So congratulations. You've broken this hard-shelled soul of mine. Roderick Dixon, of course, the tenor here in Chicago, has performed with the Lyric, also with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, all over the world. But he's also a big part of the Too Hot to Handle, the Jazz Gospel Messiah, which will be at the Auditorium Theater this Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. The Jazz Gospel Messiah, it's been going on now for 13 years. Happens right before Martin Luther King Day here in Chicago. That medley that you just did was not from Too Hot to Handle, but it did have something to do with Dr. King. It had to do with the dream. You talked about it as you were setting it up, and you could see how the words and the performance and everything that went into it was special to you as the singer.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It really, the two songs really share this sort of spirit and emotion that you will experience it Too Hot to Handle. This idea of taking I dreamed the dream from Les Mis into the impossible dream. And King's famous speech on the Mall, people don't know that the dream part of the speech, you know, I have a dream that one day,
right,
you know, that part was improv'd. It was not written in the speech. The New York Times has an article that talks about Mahalia Jackson whispering to Martin while he was speaking on the Mall, Martin, tell them about the dream. Tell them about the dream. And what people don't know, that he had preached it in part of his sermon maybe 4 or 5 months earlier. And then he had used part of the dream speech in Detroit 2 months before
right.
he went to the mall. And then when she told Martin, tell him about the dream, that became the most famous part of the speech, besides jobs and right to vote and housing. All of those things that were necessary for all American citizens. And so I chose that just to put an emphasis, a dot on the dream speech and King and his beloved community, that he was basically, as a preacher and also as a politician,
a leader
leader
right.
of the American idea of what constitutes citizenship. He was one of the voices of that, among like John F. Kennedy and then of course Abraham Lincoln from the land of Lincoln. All of that, all those gentlemen had a voice in the consciousness of America in the 20th and 21st century. So that was my homage, that, and that spirit in which I sang that about the dream, this idea that I dream at night. And then what happens when your dreams are turned to shame? You do, as we say in the scriptures of Joseph, you dream the impossible dream.
Right.
And you believe that somehow, at the end of the day, you didn't just choose to come here to fail, but you choose to come to succeed as a human being, to uplift humanity. And that's what the celebration at the Auditorium Theater, the theater of the people, is the place where people get uplifted. And so today, my wife, Alfreda Burke, who's a soprano in the show, 13 years and also 16 years in Detroit, and I traveled to Angola this weekend as part of the prison outreach of Too Hot to Handle from the Auditorium Theater. In Angola.
So the idea being that there are prisons that are going to stream
yeah.
Too Hot to Handle
yeah.
to the prisoners.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, Mr. Matt Long, who's in the studio with us, is the person who handles all of the camera shots for this show. And there's a big screen above the choir, and there's 3 or 4 cameras in the theater that are capturing what's happening on Sunday. And it was streamed to the detention center, Cook County Detention Center, the maximum security prison in Louisiana, which is in Angola, and I think 6 other prisons in the area of Illinois. And the whole objective is that the Christian Reformed Church, which partners with the National Prison Ministry, thought that this show was worthy of putting into the prisons to give those inmates a sense of hope, that they're not forgotten, and that the idea of dreaming that one day, after they've served their time and paid their debt to society, they will have a second or third chance to come back into society and live out the cradle of why they came in the first place, to uplift humanity and take their rightful place.
You know, watching you perform the piece that you did right before the news, and watching the aftermath with the sort of the fact that we were drained emotionally and physically. I mean, mm-hmm. just listen to your voice. It's amazing to see the performance. I mean, it really does take its toll. When you're singing those words and how important is it to be connected emotionally to the music? And that's what I'm getting at, when obviously the dream stuff and as you just articulated, you know, how important it is and how it connects to Dr. King's speech. But how important is it for you as a singer, as a musician, as an artist, to connect emotionally to that music?
I think it's the most important part of the human expression of love. To be totally connected to the moment of somebody else's presence, to choose them over you, fight for them. I think that when you're passionate about expressing a thought and idea, you not only want to get the thought across because you care that much for them to hear it, but you also want to hear them respond about it back to you so they can feed you with, I either agree or I disagree. I think the most important part of human communication is that 80% that's nonverbal. And so each breath I take is infused with a sense of hope, desperation, that I have to get it out of me. I cannot let this stay inside of me.
Does that come from, is it the theatrical side of you? Is that the growing up in the church side of you? I mean, where's that connection to being nonverbal, but also at the same time being a musician and connecting to those words?
It comes from church. It comes, first of all, it comes from family, mothers and fathers. They have to be the examples. It also comes from church. It comes from your community, your schooling, your loved ones, your friends, the ones that didn't agree with you. It comes from all of those experiences. But at the end of the day, when you're an artist, you start to see things differently. Everything doesn't make any sense. And just because it's right it doesn't mean that wrong is not in play. And just because it's wrong, it doesn't mean that right is not in play. You just have to be open to wherever the moment decides to show up. Don't superimpose your will on it. Let it flow through you and see where it takes you. And that's a risk as an artist. So, yes, I can talk about vocal pedagogy. Yes, I can talk about intellectualism. Yes, I can talk about, well, this is what I was trying to achieve. It doesn't mean that I hit my mark. What matters to me is if I throw it out there, does it have impact and does it resonate with you?
Yeah.
And it's what it does to you that informs me if I'm in the right direction.
You've done recorded music. You've done television. But a lot of your work takes place on a stage at the opera,
right,
or in, with the orchestra in the background, being a tenor in a live setting.
Yeah.
And you always talk, even the theater. You know, you talk about, I've had theater artists in here who talk about the idea of the beauty of that art form is that you get to do it once with the crowd that's in the room, and there's this connection that you're trying, even in some ways you're trying to replicate night after night, but there is this connection, this emotion, this feel that you're trying to transfer back and forth from an audience. How special is that to you as an artist to be in that environment, to perform at the Lyric Opera in that kind of relationship?
Well, there are two things that's happening for me personally. I can't talk for anybody else, but I can just be honest about myself. One is I look for the divine. I have to be prepared to such a degree that I'm looking for the divine to show up in the moment. I'm looking for freedom, deliverance too. I'm not just a giver. I'm also the receiver. And as I put the work before God, I ask God to bless it and show me where I can figure out from the character, what do I have similarities and what differences do we have? And I try not to superimpose my will of right and wrong on that person I'm supposed to represent.
Right.
I'm supposed to fight for them like a lawyer. I'm supposed to find the good parts about them and try to elevate them and then try to figure out how to get the bad parts about them that I disagree with and give them respect. Because that's my job. So every song to me is like a sermon. I have a narrative, I have a subtext, and I have a context in which I'm supposed to present that material. And in that is the human dilemma of where do we all fit in this conversation with
and
this.
And you have to prepare yourself as a performer to know there are going to be spots in which you're going to find that divine, that you're going to find that moment that's special and that magical. And it really is about you being prepared for that.
That's why I like this show. Because this show has scripture, it has pedigree, legacy, it has a longstanding ability to be so popular since 1741. It's a very interesting conversation,
it's
the
true.
Messiah, as a subject matter. I think it was one of the pundits on television, I can't think of his name, he said, well, he must be a pretty popular dude because there's been something about it. But I am saying that there is something about truth in the theater that everybody knows when it shows up. Everybody's blessed by its truth, and everybody's delivered by its presence.
In a way, that's why they're in the room, right?
That's why they're in the room.
They're there
so
for that.
Live theater gives us all access to that experience, and that's the human experience. Too hot to handle, I think, for the musicians, the audience that come to that show. They look for that standard. It's one thing to perform something because you're good at it. It's another thing to lay down something more than the performance. Say, I'm looking for something today. I want to leave here with something. I need something to fulfill something I'm lacking today.
Yeah.
And that too hot to handle experience shows up every January. I'm not just selling tickets to the show right now. I don't have to lie about the truth. I can just tell you that people who are Muslims, who come from the Jewish tradition, who come from the Christian tradition, who are Buddhist, Hindu, they all come to share in the idea of coming together because they know that the cradle of faith, hope, and belief and courage about humanity shows up in that theater every January in this show. So I don't know what it is. All I know, if you an erudite intellectual, you show up and say, my God, I never could figure out how dare you do that to handle. But, you know, I had one lady tell me, she said, you know, I must admit, I didn't want to come. How dare you do that to handle? It's blasphemous. But after 9 I finally showed up. It's so well produced. I couldn't believe. Oh,
well, you've got hundreds of musicians who will be on stage, performers, soloists, a choir with over 100 members, an orchestra, a jazz combo, And, of course, my guest tonight, tenor Roderick Dixon. The show is Too Hot to Handle, the Jazz Gospel Messiah. It'll be at the Auditorium Theater Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. Roderick Dixon in studio 435 tonight. We'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll get one more song from Roderick Dixon. Amazing, in studio 435. Stay with us. It's Studio 435 here on the download. In studio tonight, Roderick Dixon, a tenor, Chicago musician who is going to be solo. He'll be one of the soloists at the Too Hot to Handle the Jazz Gospel Messiah at the Auditorium Theater coming up here Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. So many great people involved with this. Over 100 plus musicians involved in this annual concert, which is on its 13th year. As we get to Martin Luther King Day here in this country,
right?
Coming up here on Monday the 15th. What's it mean to you? I mean, you know, have the quick reflections. Obviously, we've had deep conversation tonight about his words, about his speeches, about the music. You're a part of this concert every single year, but what does Martin Luther King Day and Martin Luther King mean to you, Roderick?
Well, it's interesting. In April of 21st and 22nd of this year, this show will make its debut at Memphis. This happens to be the 50th year since his assassination this year alone. And this year we're focusing on the fact that even though that took place as horrific, there is a sense of consciousness about there's still not a collective bargaining agreement for those workers who are sanitation workers where he was assassinated over this 50 years ago. And so this year, the show, the Auditorium Theater has done a great thing of looking at the prison ministry, a prison outreach program, its education initiative in the schools, with the Chicago School Public Schools, to really to elevate and illuminate this sense of that the community has a lot more to do, a lot more work to put out there, to sort of make things more better for American citizens across the board. Not just sanitation workers in Memphis, but all workers across the country are looking for better jobs, better pay, equal pay for women as well, and this sense of what the community wants to support. And the theater is actively really elevating and putting a lot of time and energy behind his words and his birthday, which is a great symbol of that. And so this year, my focus is really about just trying to emotionally plug in to those needs and those thoughts. And it's the audience that informs us where we should put our efforts in terms of our performance.
Roderick, what are we going to hear here? We're going to wrap up Studio 435, some more live performance. What's the last piece you're going to play?
Well, this is a fun piece. It's called Every Valley Shall Be Exalted and Every Mountain Shall Be Made Low. And we're not talking about just mountains and valleys. We're talking about hearts where people need to be lifted. And there's some people who probably need to take a couple of steps down and let some other people go first. You know, the first shall be last and the last shall be first, you know, the old axiom. But it's a great piece. It's a fun piece. We'll do a little snippet
of
that.
All right,
here we go. Okay, here we go.
Roderick Dixon, the tenor, will be part of Too Hot to Handle, the Jazz Gospel Messiah, which is this Saturday night and Sunday afternoon at the Auditorium Theater. Here they are with Matt Long, Roderick Dixon, Studio 435. Take it away again.
Shall be exalted, shall be exalted, shall be exalted. Everybody shall be exalted, shall be exalted. And every mountain and hill may low. The crooked straight, the crooked straight, the rough place is plain, the rough place is plain, the crooked straight, the crooked straight, and the rough place is plain.
valley. Every valley shall be exalted, shall be exalted, shall be exalted, shall be exalted. Every valley, shall be exalted, shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill made low. The crooked straight, the crooked straight, the rough place is plain, the rough place is plain, the crooked straight, the crooked straight, and the rough place is plain.
Wow. Wow. In studio 435, tenor Roderick Dixon, an excerpt from what we're going to hear at the Too Hot to Handle Jazz Gospel Messiah, which is at the Auditorium Theater this Saturday evening and Sunday afternoon. What a performance. Roderick Dixon, Matt Long, who accompanied tonight, and an amazing, amazing performance tonight, Roderick. I'm blown away by your talent and your song. I appreciate it.
Let me just say this. I want to say a shout-out to my lovely wife who's singing the show for 13 years. We've been married for 20 years this coming Friday.
Congratulations.
And so thank you for allowing me to say that. So I just want to get that out. That's Alfreda Burke, the great Alfreda Burke, and Cameron Richards is our alto, and Alvin Wallace on the piano, and Suzanne Atkins, our conductor, in the great Auditorium Theater.
All right, the Auditorium Theater this weekend. Roderick, I appreciate it. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you, sir.